Yo, what's up? Welcome to Kinda Funny Games Daily for Friday, June 5th, 2020. I'm one of your hosts, Blessing Adeoye Jr., and joining me is Spawn on Me's Khalif Adams. Khalif, how's it going?
What the deal, be Bless? I'm happy to see you, fam. I appreciate that beautiful shirt that you're wearing. That is gorgeous,
yeah.
I must say.
Of course, it's a Spawn on Me shirt. Of course, got red. I see you're rocking yours too. Got a rep. If people wanted to support, if people wanted the shirt, where could they find it, Khalif?
Oh my God, we're over on TeePublic. TeePublic, the link is super, super long, but it's bit.ly/SOM merch is the short version of that. So you can rock some gear from there.
Yeah, I always appreciate the Spawn on Me merch because it's always fresh. I like the one you're wearing specifically though. Like, I need to cop that one because I like the colors, like the cursive is looking. It's looking awesome. If you're an audio listener, definitely like check out the video version to see what we're talking about. These Spawn on Me shirts are dope. Khalif,
yes,
before we even started this show, me and you started talking about grits.
Yes.
Because I forget who brought it up. It might have been me or might have been Kevin that brought it up. Grits for me has been a thing that I've been eating recently as like a way. I was telling you, like, in the morning, it's hard for me to like really get my body motivated for like a meal, right? Yeah. So like grits recently has been the thing where it's like, all right, grits, not too much, not too little. It'll keep me leveled for the day or for the morning, I should say. You were telling me that you have some recipes. You have some like secret sauces when it comes to grits.
So the folks at home who don't know what grits are, because I think there may be some folks in the community who may not know what grits are. So basically, it's like if you've ever had cream of wheat, which is another version of that kind of layer of stuff. Grits is basically a hominy husk, and then that basically is a grain, and then that kind of gets mushed down into almost a kind of oatmeal like paste, which is fantastic and really good. It doesn't really taste like anything until you add seasoning to it, like most things. But my move has been, my grandma used to eat sardines in a can, and this kind of sardine and tomato sauce in a can, and she would add that to her grits as a thing. There's a huge controversial conversation in the Black community about, do you put sugar in your grits or do you not put sugar in your grits? So that's a whole nother conversation.
Where do you lie in the conversation?
I am not a sugar in the grits person. Like, I know people who put sugar in their tomato sauce when they do that stuff too. I'm just like, it's weird. I don't like it. I like the acidity that you get in the actual tomato sauce, so I don't like the sweet. So I don't put sugar in my grits. But what I do put in my grits is Parmesan cheese. Parmesan cheese, butter, and in your grits is the way to go. That will set you straight for a long, long time.
I'm gonna start doing that because like I've been eating grits plain. There's like whatever. So I live with Kevin's sister. Kevin's sister brought home like a big old box of grits, and she was like, "Hey, I'm gonna give you some." And that's how I started getting into grits recently. Yeah. And they have like different flavors to them, right? Like there's like the original just plain flavor. There's like a butter flavor. There's a cheddar cheese flavor, which I've not tried yet because I don't know how I feel about that given what I've tasted of grits so far.
Cheesy grits is a thing though. Cheesy grits is definitely a thing.
Is it a good thing?
I mean, it depends on who makes it and it depends on what kind of cheese. Like, I've seen people put in... I'm not a fan of American cheese at all. Like, American cheese is the devil. So that, I don't understand why people eat American cheese because it's like, that's science.
Slow down. All right, slow down. We're saying a lot
American
of things.
Cheese American, is terrible.
American cheese has some uses, though.
Absolutely.
Right? Like, it's the right time, right place kind of thing.
Come on.
The American cheese is good in only one way, and that's only if you make it with a grilled cheese sandwich, and that's kind of not even the best way to make a grilled cheese sandwich.
That's like the most basic, like, you want to start to learn cooking, here's a grilled cheese sandwich, and it'll change your life.
Butter both sides like of the bread. That's like if you had filet mignon and you put a Kraft slice on it. That's terrible. Don't do that. Don't do that to the people. Don't do that to your belly. Don't do that to the people. That's un-American. American cheese is un-American. That's what I'll say.
What are your views on nacho cheese?
On nacho cheese?
Uh-huh.
I'm
talking about the stuff you get at 7-Eleven. You press the button and it all flops down.
Yeah. I mean, that depends on how much bubble guts I want. It depends on how fast I want to go to the bathroom. Is if I use that kind of cheese. It's okay. It's okay. It's all right.
It's okay.
It's all right.
So... Check. Khalif, a question I've been asking hosts this week, and I asked you this question when you were on Tuesday. So how's the last week been for you? I know since Tuesday, things have happened as far as like guesting on shows, and I've seen the reception to Spawn on Me grow and evolve over how the week has gone. Have you seen any like change this week, or have you seen anything this week as far as like how things have gone since Tuesday that you want to highlight?
It has been madness, and I have to give a huge shout out to all the best friends in the community for bigging us up and sharing us out and giving us love, because no joke, the support that you've all shown to us as a show over the years has been fantastic, but this week especially has been unreasonably dope. I was just on IGN's podcast Unlocked, which was fantastic. I'm going to be doing a charity stream with you a little bit later on today.
Yeah,
so that's going to be fantastic for US Gamer. I just saw a minute ago, shout out to Emmett Watkins from the KFBF crew, who magically got us a shout out on Death, Sex, and Money from NPR.
Really?
Which is
nuts.
You got
awesome.
You got a huge blessing. You got a huge shout out in that really? Episode, actually. So we got to get that to you. But yeah, like my Twitter following has like quadrupled. You know, we hit crazy numbers on there. We just did a stream night on the front page of Twitch that almost had 13,000 people viewing it.
It's awesome.
Been madness, and it's been the best madness that you could have. So again, thank you to everybody who's like repping with us and continue to share the show out and that, especially that episode. Yeah, I'm feeling really, really happy, and a lot of the hard work feels like it's paying off in big ways. So again, thank you to everybody for rocking with us super hard.
Yeah, shout out to everybody for that. And I've been talking about this on quite a few shows this week, and my main thing is I hope to see this continue, right? Like, I hope this isn't a conversation that ever stops. I hope this conversation is ongoing for people that are outside of the Black community, right? Because this is a conversation as far as how Black people are treated, whether it's within our industries or, you know, just on the streets in general, right? Like, that's a conversation that's been ongoing for us forever, but it's nice to see that conversation happening on a larger scale. And I hope that conversation doesn't stop on that larger scale, right? Like, I hope this is the thing that continues.
I agree. And one of the things that I wanted to note really quickly was, it was really nice to see there's been, again, this conversation around Black content creators and, you know, Blackness in all these media spaces and Blackness in general. Again, it's been something that we've been talking about, but I think what I saw yesterday on I Am Brandon TV's channel, if you're not following Brandon Stennis, you're missing out on one of the best Black creators on Twitch. There was a fantastic, really, really raw and emotional conversation that he had with some other really big Black streamers, with Professor Broman, who has been big for a very long time in this space. And it was one of the things that I hoped to have come out of all this, was to see that cross-collaborative effort between channels and between communities and all that stuff happen. So I have to give everybody in that crew a really huge, huge amount of love for that, because that's exactly what we hoped the show that we did would spark. And really, really quickly, I have to give you massive amounts of love. I saw Greg you love on Twitter this morning. You know I love you. You know, when we first met, I told you that you were the future of this shit. Ooh, this future of this stuff.
You can cuss on the show.
I forget where I'm at sometimes. Like, oh yeah, we're here. We can
cuss. Greg Miller hosts this show. You can cuss. You're fine.
That's true. But you know, I told you the future of this thing, and I continue to say that. And it's been so really wonderful to see you take the reins and do so many wonderful things and get the love that you deserve. So like, that to me, again, part of all this is to see people I love and people who are doing fantastic work grow and get better at the stuff that they do. So again, like, thanks, massive love to you, fam, for continuing to knock the stuff out.
I appreciate that so much. Khalif, this is Kind of Funny Games Daily. This is a show about video games. So let's talk about a new Halo, Call of Duty taking an even stronger stance against racism and more, because this is Kind of Funny Games Daily, each and every weekday at 10 a.m. live right here on twitch.tv/kindoffunnygames. We run you through the nerdy news you need to know about. If you're watching live, you can correct us when we get stuff wrong by going to kindoffunny.com/you'rewrong. If you don't want to watch live, you can watch later on youtube.com/kindoffunnygames, roosty.com, or you can listen later on podcast services around the globe by searching for Kind of Funny Games Daily. To be a part of the show, head to patreon.com/kindoffunnygames, where bronze members or above get to write in, and silver members or above get the show ad-free with the exclusive daily post-show. Housekeeping, I've been making the rounds this week. This has been a crazy, crazy ass week as far as like appearances. For some reason, I don't know what the reason might be, people have been getting me on their shows this week as a guest. I don't know why people are reaching out to me specifically, but for some reason I've been on a million things. And so I want to lay it all out since we're at the end of the week. And so this is where you can find me this week. All right. I was on the latest episode of Podcast Beyond with Lucy O'Brien and Jonathan Dornbush and the homie Funke, who is an awesome, awesome dude that you should follow on Twitter at Funke McFly. And that's over at IGN.com, of course, if you want to listen to Beyond. We talked a lot about our favorite PlayStation games and our predictions for next gen. And so look forward to that, or even don't even look forward to it. It's out. So go check that out. I was also on Inside Gaming's video game podcast, Send News, and that was with Brian Garr, Wooly Madden, and Alana Pierce, and that's over on youtube.com/insidegaming, and that's available right now. I was also on Game Case Trivia as part of GameSpot's charity stream, and that features me joining Ben Hansen and Surreal from MinMax, Brandon Jones from Easy Allies, and Jake Baldino from GameRanks, and that's available right now on youtube.com/GameSpot, because I was part of their charity stream. And let me tell you, it's been a long, like, kind of stressful week as far as like how many things I've been doing and how like active I've been as far as like being on shows and all that stuff. Doing that trivia show was very needed. It was so much fun. I highly recommend people go watch that and check that out. Like, it was one of those things where I was like, okay, cool. Like, I had just finished Inside Gaming and I was like, all right, this is about to be my third thing that I'm on today. And that was like by 1 p.m. And by the time we got into it, right, it was like just this great, like, laid back, like, hey, we're on a trivia show. The whole conceit of the show is that it's hosted by MinMax. Sorry, I like lost the name. It's here. Ben Hansen of MinMax. He hosts it, and essentially what he does is he reads the back of the box descriptions of a bunch of different games. And the panel for, I think for us, it was four different people that were playing, that were participating. We had to then guess the games based on what the back of the box descriptions are. And the first person to guess gets the point. And man, I'm not going to spoil it for anybody about who won or how close it was. All I'm saying is that, man, your boy performed. I performed. And so, that's like, don't ever tell me that I don't know stuff about video games, because I almost, I'm not going to say anything, but
don't give it away.
Go listen to it. I don't want to give it away. I was also, of course, on the latest episode of Spawn on Me, titled A Lesson in Blackness, with Khalif, Pikachu Lita, Zombie Kills, Paris, and Cameron Hawkins. And of course, we've been talking about that a lot this week. You can find that on youtube.com/spawnonme. Shout out, Khalif, Spawn on Me.
Yeah.
And then later today at 1 p.m. Pacific time, I'm going to be on US Gamer as part of their charity stream. They're raising money for Black Lives Matter organizations. And that's going to be me, Imran, and Khalif for that 1 p.m. slot. And we're going to be playing some Mortal Kombat 11. And that's happening on youtube.com/USGamerNet. Khalif, are you ready for this?
Oh,
I don't play around.
The question is, are you ready? I am really competitive, so it is on, like, for real. I'm ready.
The only thing I'll say is that I'm a little bit rusty when it comes to Mortal Kombat 11. Like, I'm not, yes, like, Scarlet is my go-to, of course, and like, I also like Jade and quite a few, like, pretty much all the women characters in the game, like the women princesses that are from Edania or something like that, like the royal realm. Those are all my go-tos. So Katana, Jade. I've been messing around with Sindel a lot lately. But I am still somewhat rusty. But after this show, I'm gonna go back. I'm gonna memorize some moves. I'm coming for you, Khalif. I'm coming for you. I'm coming for Imran, and anybody else who wants to smoke.
I already told Imran on Twitter. I said I apologize for the beating you're about to get. I already tweeted at NetherRealm to have them come through and come watch out so they can give us some love while we go do it. So my Raiden will be strong. My Fujin is not there yet, but it's about to be on.
The god characters. You're all about those gods.
All about the gods, man. That's all it is.
The Gorilla Collective, the return of the Kind of Funny Game Showcase in partnership with the Media India Exchange, has been postponed. This is the statement that they released here. The Gorilla Collective came together to create a space where we all find a voice to support each other, our industry, and our work. It is the cumulative effort of incredibly diverse teams unified in the creation of a digital event to bring hope and positive content to the world. We recognize this is a time for action and for voices speaking out for justice and change to be heard. We stand united for change, for justice, and in support of Black Lives Matter. We are announcing here that our event is moving to June 13th, 14th, and 15th. We are preparing a live stream for June 7th to highlight Black voices in our industry, dedicated exclusively to showcasing games created by Black developers, titles featuring Black protagonists, and conversations with these creators. We'll have more details to share shortly. And again, that's happening June 7th on, I'm assuming, on twitch.tv/GorillaCollective.
Huge shout out to the mix. They gave me one of my first big shots doing on camera work. So massive love for them. Yeah.
That's
for sure.
Awesome.
Yeah.
Thank you to our Patreon producers, Mohammed Mohammed, Connor Nolan, and Blackjack. Today we're brought to you by Brooklyn, but I'll tell you about that later. For now, let's begin with what is and forever will be the Warp Report. It's time for some news. We have four stories today. Starting with our number one, there's a new Halo project in the works at 343 Industries, seemingly. I'm going to add this is Asher Maiden at Windows Central. Asher writes, Halo Infinite should launch in holiday 2020, but it looks like developer 343 Industries is planning another game in the popular franchise. Today, Twitter user Clobril noticed that the team was looking for a senior producer to lead a new project in the Halo universe. The post said, quote, 343 Industries is looking for a senior producer to work with our core services team to help develop a new project in the Halo universe, end quote. It's unclear what this project could be at this moment, but it doesn't seem like it's the sequel to Halo Infinite since it's not even out yet. It may be a spinoff or another title along those lines. Khalif, are you a Halo person at all? Is Halo your jam?
Yeah, I love Halo. Halo's a fantastic series, and it's also really interesting to see that them... Well, you kind of have to signal out really early when you have a game that's going to be probably coming out in, you know, the next 5 years or so, especially with Halo Infinite being their kind of flagship title that they're trying to push out. I wonder, though, how that may, again, like, not split the base, but they also had these kind of like tertiary titles like Halo Reach and Halo ODST and what was the RTS one that they did an RTS
Halo Wars bit.
Halo Wars, yeah. And I think that it's smart, like, if you're going to build out what you want your kind of fan base to be for the next gen, you have to kind of go far and wide. It's actually pretty exciting to hear that they're working on new stuff alongside Infinite, so excited for that. That's going to be cool whenever we get a chance to hear about it.
Yeah, I think this makes complete sense, especially given the fact that, yeah, games like Halo Wars exist. And I know that there are other Halo spinoff titles out there that are like not just the main first person shooters, but Halo games that are doing other things. This makes sense to what you're saying, right? Like, Halo is going to be the flagship title. Halo is going to be the big first exclusive for Xbox Series X. And you imagine that's going to be the thing that they want to kick off they want to like live as, like, hey, you know, Halo, this generation, Xbox One generation, hasn't necessarily had its big moment, right? Like, there was Master Chief Collection that had kind of a rough start and has probably gotten to where it needs to be now, but probably wasn't the shining success that they wanted it to be for this generation. And Halo, was it 5 was the last one?
I think so.
Or was it 6? Halo 5. Yeah. That game also came out to not the best reception, at least what you'd want from a Halo game. And so you imagine for Halo Infinite, that's probably what they're looking forward to. They probably want it to be very much a return to form. And if that's going to be the case, you look at companies like Nintendo and how they treat Mario, and how there's a billion Mario spinoffs between Mario Kart and Mario Party and all the different things they have there. You can do similar things with Halo, right? And I'm not saying like Halo Kart or Halo Party. I don't think those are the things you do, but I think you can get some interstitial titles in there to keep the brand alive, to keep that brand active, to remind people that Halo is the shit.
What do you hope it is?
I mean, I have no hopes personally because I'm not really deep into Halo. Like, Halo has historically not been my jam. That was actually going to be my question for you. Is like, do you have any hopes as far as what this title could be?
I want them to go real wacky. I want them to do like Halo Beach Volleyball, like DOA did. Or like Rockstar did, do Halo table tennis. That would be really dope.
Oh my god!
I wanted to do that game and make that thing. I mean, I honestly want it to be something that feels really smart. It may be even like what you saw with the Gears franchise, where they did Gears Pop. It might be like Halo Pop, something like that. Something in that respect. Who knows? It might not even be specifically console or PC. Maybe did they say if it's not going to be a mobile title? It could be. I don't know. I want them to move away from the usual shooter in some way to kind of bring those things together. Like, imagine a really dope card battle game that they did in the Halo universe, like Gwent did for Witcher.
Yeah.
Like, it could be cool. They could have fun stuff in there that might be fun.
On the opposite end, right? Because, like, I think for me, when I read the story, my mind immediately went to where you're going with what you just said, right? Like, Gears Pop or Halo Pop or Halo Wars or, yeah, like, some sort of, like, very different kind of Halo title as far as something that doesn't compete with core Halo, something that doesn't compete with Halo Infinite. What if, sure, on the other side, we get, like, a Halo Battle Royale or, like, some sort of, like, Halo game that is like, kind of traditional, but is going more so with the trends that we're seeing right now in first-person shooters? Do you think a Halo Battle Royale could be something that exists?
That might be kind of cool, actually. Because, like, and then you can pull in things from all the games in all the parts of the universe. Like, the first thing I thought of was the Halo shield that you do on the ground and pop that bubble up over you, right? There's, like, things that you can use as weapons and kind of lore to bring into that space that inform how you would kit out a weapon case or kit out guns or kit out, you know, the way squads would kind of work. That may be interesting as a conversation to see, like, what a battle royale would look like in the Halo universe. That's a good look. It's a good idea.
Where's your head at been as far as, like, Halo? Like, do you think Halo, are you looking forward to Halo Infinite? Did you play the last Halo game? What was that? Were you disappointed by it at all, or were you fine with it?
I was disappointed with the last one. I didn't think that they nailed it from a story perspective. I think there were a lot of weird holes and gaps in it that they didn't really necessarily nail. I'm more excited about Halo Infinite because I know they're going to go big with it in terms of scale, in terms of graphical fidelity, in terms of the pretty parts of that thing. The Halo stories, unless you have, like, pieced all the parts together through the books and then the games and all that stuff, like, they're just weird things that they don't really necessarily tie together in a nice bow. It's going to be interesting to see what they do from a narrative perspective, but I'm really there to just shoot people in multiplayer and see what they're going to do. You know, I'm sure, here's the one thing I don't want them to do. I don't want them to have a really long warthog section at the end of this game, because that is the biggest trope part of the Halo series right now. Was like, all right, so we know what's going to happen at the end. I have a big, long car fight at the end of it with a warthog. So that's what I don't want to be in the spot.
Story number two. Call of Duty adds a screen that says Black Lives Matter. This is from Sam Bifford at The Verge. Infinity Ward just released an update for Call of Duty Modern Warfare that adds a splash screen message in support of the Black Lives Matter movement. Players are being told they need to update their client upon finishing multiplayer games, and once they do, the message appears on screen. Quote, "Our community is hurting," the statement reads. "The systemic inequalities our community experiences are once again at center stage. Call of Duty and Infinite Ward stand for equality and inclusion. We stand against racism and injustice our Black community endures. Until change happens and Black Lives Matter, we will never truly be the community we strive to be," end quote. The Verge has confirmed that the message subsequently appears every time you launch Modern Warfare on PS4. It also appears on loading screens and when switching to a separate mode like Warzone. Several video game companies have issued statements of support for Black communities this week following protests against police brutality in the U.S. and the killing of George Floyd. Placing the message in front of everyone playing a hugely popular first-person shooter, however, could help it reach a wider group of people. Khalif, did you see this making the rounds last night? Because this is, like, kind of a huge thing that was going on.
No, I missed it because we were doing the show and I missed it. But now that I'm hearing about it, I'm very, very, I'm happy to hear that. That's good news. Put that politics in front of everyone's faces. If you can throw up quotes from General MacArthur, you can put up a Black Lives Matter Black Lives Matter message there. It also makes me wonder if every time I'm updating shaders, if that's what we're actually doing, we're uploading blackness to Modern Warfare, because you have to do it every time you load that game on PC. So updating shaders to me means updating blackness to it.
That's awesome.
So 125 gigs of blackness. But I think it's cool to see that them actually do this work. I think it's important. Again, one of the things we harp on the show all the time is, like, companies have the ability to do these messages in reasonable and smart ways. You have captive eyes on your stuff all the time. Use that time to put that messaging out there in front of people. Make people feel it for a hot second. Like, it was really great. One of the best versions of that I saw alongside what this sounds like is the stuff that Nickelodeon did a couple of days ago.
Oh, yeah.
With the ad that they did with a person breathing for eight minutes and change, to reflect the time that George Floyd was on the ground being murdered. I think you have to just use that platform. Like, all this stuff is good stuff in that way. But again, do that and keep that energy when all these things happen. And then you don't get the people who are going to be, you know, the ones who are like, well, why are you putting your politics in my games? It's like, it's always been there. It's always going to be there.
Yeah, especially again, for Call of Duty, right? Like, Call of Duty is a political game.
Yeah,
that's probably the most political game.
Yeah, you can't separate those things at all. So, like, just do it and let people get in their feels, and they'll just be fine afterward.
Yeah, no, I definitely agree. I think for Call of Duty specifically, this has been an interesting arc for Infinity Ward, because it did start off early this week with them, I believe, pushing their season. And like, you know, that kind of causing a reaction, and then them following up, not necessarily following up in reaction to that, but them following up about a day or so later with them being like, also, oh fuck, what was it? I just had a brain freeze. What did Call of Duty do earlier this week?
Oh, you mean when they postponed their DLC?
Well, they postponed the DLC. They've also been putting in efforts to combat racist content in their game, right? So, like, racist usernames and all that stuff, right? They followed up and they said, hey, this is the thing that's been going on that's unacceptable, and we want to put a stop to it, and we want to do a better job of moderating it. And so to see them follow up with that has been even better. And yeah, this right here, right, putting that message in front of people before loading screens, before you play Warzone, for a game that is massively popular, for Call of Duty, that is one of the most popular franchises on the planet, one of the most popular games on the planet, for them to do that, and for them to take practical actions, right, in terms of you know, messaging to people, and in terms of using your platform for good. Like, I think that's an awesome thing, and I think, like, you know, I'm actually pretty impressed with the fact that they're willing to do that.
Yeah, you got to double down. Like, I think that's the thing right now, is like, you got to put the pedal to the metal when it comes to this stuff. Like, there's no reason. It's the lowest hanging fruit, to be honest, too, where it's an easy ask and an easy task to do that affects so many parts of the player base that no one talks about. You know what I mean? We, you know, Black gamers often get kind of pigeonholed into this very specific, like, we only play sports games, or we only play, you know, shooters, or we only play certain kinds of games. You gotta like broaden out the base by having these conversations and letting the people who do play your stuff, you know, feel the feelings that they have, and also kind of let people know that they have an ally in the company. So that's good. That's good stuff.
Speaking of Activision, story number three, Activision's shareholders think CEO Bobby Kotick is paid too much. This is from Sherrod Syed at VG247. A number of Activision Blizzard shareholders have expressed concerns over CEO Bobby Kotick's big compensation package. In a filing with the U.S. Securities and Exchange Commission, two proxy voting advisory firms represented by the CTW Investment Group have advised shareholders to vote against giving Activision complete say over how much CEO Bobby Kotick is paid. In fact, the investment group has consistently asked for this, but seemingly never managed to get enough votes. Activision will hold its annual shareholders meeting on June 11th, where management will preview the say-on-pay proposal. The filing says Kotick has received, quote, over $20 million in combined stock/option equity per year over the past 4 years, which they say is the largest for any CEO in a similar company. And so to put context to that, right, that's $80 million within the last 4 years for Bobby Kotick. Quote, despite repeated low approval votes for shareholders, Activision Blizzard maintains multiple overlapping opportunities for its CEO to earn outsized equity awards, even when performance-related vesting thresholds have not been met, it reads. While equity grants that exceed the total pay of peer companies would be objectionable in most circumstances, it is of special concern in this case because Activision Blizzard employees face job insecurity following layoffs of 800 employees in 2019 and typically earn less than 1/3 of 1% of the CEO's earnings, with some employees, such as junior developers, making less than $40,000 a year while living in high-cost areas such as Southern California, end quote. Activision defended Kotick's compensation package in a statement to GameSpot, arguing that Activision Blizzard's market value has ballooned under Kotick. Khalif, a lot going on here, but Bobby Kotick is making that fat check, and the system isn't happy about it. What's your reaction to all this?
Bobby Kotick is the James Dolan of gaming in a lot of weird ways. And if you're not familiar who James Dolan is, he's the person who's basically tanked the Knicks for decades. The problem is that the it's hard to pull someone out of a position like that when, like they said, he's you know, ballooned the amount of money that that franchise has made over the past couple of years. But the problem is in that last statement, on that last paragraph, is the part that actually matters, where the discrepancy between the CEOs and the employees is so large, it's so huge. It's the reason why you see the conversation around unionization being really high in the space. You know, developers, again, not necessarily being compensated the ways that you would expect them to with the amount of money that the games bring in. That, I mean, that conversation is going to be, you know, evergreen in that respect until that actually changes. Mm-hmm. It's going to be curious to see from a consumer perspective. That's the thing I actually want to challenge people at home as well, too, where you see this inequity happen in this space. You know, we all love the games that we love. We love to play the things that we do. There are points in that ecosystem and in that space where we are kind of a part of the, you know, the way things work in this, right? Like Bobby Kotick doesn't make all the money he makes if we don't buy the games that come out of his division and come out of his company. So it's a part of that conversation too, of how do we as consumers think about the effect that we have in all of this working. But I don't, you know, like he's making crazy amounts of dough. Like I wonder also at that point and at that level, what do you actually do? Like no one really makes that kind of money because of the things they actually do. Of course, stocks and all those things are in your compensation and all those things, you know, are a part of the ecosystem there too. But from a like work to effort to money, you know, translation, like no one does $80 million of work for anything. Like no one ever has, you know what I mean? So it's curious to hear, you know, what the stakeholders are going to wind up doing. Like, I don't think they could pull a coup and pull him out at this point. Cause either way he'd still win, cause he'd get a compensation package on the way out. So, you know, it's kind of hard to see him losing in any of this stuff, going forward. So we'll see. It's an interesting kind of story though.
Yeah, like the big thing that's kind of a red flag for me, right, is where the quote reads, right? It is of special concern in this case because Activision Blizzard's employees faced job insecurity following layoffs of 800 employees in 2019, who typically earn less than 1/3 of 1% of the CEO's earnings, right? Like Bobby Kotick made $80 million in the last 4 years.
Mm-hmm.
To see like so many of the employees being either laid off or making less than $40,000 a year while living in Southern California, like that discrepancy is big, right? Like that's a big issue. And huge. Like, you know, it's dope to see like Call of Duty is thriving. It's dope to see that Call of Duty, like the brand is quote ballooning under CEO Bobby Kotick. But at the same time, it's also Call of Duty, right? Like it's also the biggest brand on the planet. And I'm not here saying that like Bobby Kotick isn't like, you know, putting in work to make sure that it stays that way.
Sure.
But yeah, like to what you're saying, right? Like nobody really does $80 million of work. And like, even if you want to keep that system in place, like when you're having such high layoffs, it's hard to justify that amount being made. Like you look at, I believe it was Nintendo during the Wii U era where some higher ups took big pay cuts so that people at the company, you know, wouldn't be laid off, right? And I'm sure in some sense that is like a Japanese thing to do. Maybe that's more normalized in that culture, but even still, right? Like that seems right. Like that seems like the right direction. That seems like the right thing to do. And so, yeah, this kind of reads is ridiculous to me. And it comes back to the video game industry still having a long way to go as far as improving workplace culture, improving what work conditions look like in terms of unionizing, in terms of workers having that security. Like there is a long way to go there, and this is kind of emblematic of that, right? Like this is kind of emblematic of the fact that yeah, like things aren't the way they should be, right? Yeah. Like this shouldn't happen. I'm fine with people making a lot of money, but if that's happening while you're losing employees on this level and while employees are not being paid what they should be paid, then yeah, there's an issue.
Yeah. It's like, where's that money go? Like, where did that money go? You know what I mean? Like, if you're not paying your employees, you know, well, then where's that money gone? That's the weird part of that. Yeah.
Story number four, and this is our final news story of the day. It looks like, yes, it's our final news story. Sony has been fined $3.5 million for misleading Australian consumers. Answer your question of where does that money go? this is from Jordan Allman at IGN.
Legal fees. Says,
exactly. Who writes, Sony Europe, which controls Sony's operations in Australia, has been fined $3.5 million Australian U.S. No, Australian dollars. I was going to say Australian US dollars, but I was like, that doesn't make sense. Australian dollars for misleading Australian consumers over its refund policy. The company has been ordered to pay this amount in penalties for making false and misleading representations regarding Australian consumer law rights. The court case that led to the settlement involved a series of consumers who contacted Sony over a game they deemed faulty. They were refused refunds for two reasons. The game was purchased digitally, and it had been 14 days since they made the purchase. These responses from Sony do not align with Australian consumer law, so the case went to court. Another breach of ACL came as Sony told a consumer that it could not provide a refund unless the game developer authorized it, and told another that the refund would have to be issued using digital currency only usable on the PS Store, the PlayStation Store. Quote, consumer guarantee rights do not expire after a digital product has been downloaded and certainly do not disappear after 14 days or any other arbitrary date claimed by a game store or developer, reads a statement from Rod Sims, chair of the ACCC. Quote, what Sony told these consumers was false and does not reflect the consumer guarantee rights afforded to Australian consumers, end quote. According to the release from the ACCC, Sony Europe's terms of service implied that users, quote, did not have consumer guarantee rights regarding the quality, functionality, completeness, accuracy, or performance of their purchased digital games, end quote, between October 2017 and May 2019. So this is one of those ones, this is one of those stories where I don't really have a take on it. Like, it seems like everything happened the way it should happen, right? Like,
Yeah.
You don't like Sony violates guidelines in Australia, right? Like, doesn't give people the refunds that they should be getting based on those guidelines, and yeah, it gets fined the way it should happen.
Yeah, I mean, it kind of sheds a light again on how digital purchases, and that being, you know, more of a thing now, are going to have more scrutiny because of the way that, you know, kind of archaic systems have kind of pushed against it in the long way. Like, I remember some years ago, I had an issue on PSN with a refund that I needed to do. And they were like, look, you have to produce documentation that tells us when you purchased this thing, how you purchased this thing, what time and date did you do all this stuff, and so that we can verify that you made this thing. I was like, isn't that your job? Don't you have a spreadsheet somewhere when I made that purchase that you should be able to go and find that thing? It took me hours and hours to like go through my PSN purchases through a really bad back end to find out what some of that stuff was. I think we see really, really good examples of how companies are doing some of that work that people can kind of mess around with and use for nefarious reasons, like Steam, where you can refund a thing basically if you played it, you know, less than 10 hours or something like that. I forgot what the actual number was, but you know, I think this is going to be the part where consumers have to use their power, which I'm happy to see that these consumers did, is bring up the fact that an inequality happened or something that was wrong happened, and then use your voice to buck against that. Because I think, again, we're checking the systems in a lot of ways where we're saying, look, this thing that you've made and you've produced for us, and you've made for us to be able to get the things that we want, you have flaws in it. Let me tell you what these flaws are. And then we can make me hopefully get that system to be better. Sadly, it wound up being a $3.5 million or Australian dollar lawsuit, which is how many Bobby Kotick dollars? I don't know. We have to figure out how much that is and translates. But
oh, yeah.
Yeah. But again, like, this is, again, use your wallet. Like, as a consumer, understand the power that you have as a consumer to fix the things that are actually wrong in the space. So good on them. I'm happy they did that. That's really smart.
Khalif, I'm very curious to see how Sony continues to grow and how refund policies in video game companies with digital purchases continues to grow. But that future is probably so far away. If I wanted to know what is coming to mom and pop shops today, where would I look?
It would be, if I could find it on the sheet.
It's there. It's in the yellow. I got to highlight.
Oh, yeah. That part right there. The official list of upcoming software across each and every platform is listed by the Kinda Funny Games Daily Show, hosts each and every weekday.
Yeah. Out today, we got Out Buddies DX for Xbox One, The Outer Worlds for Switch, which I've been hearing a lot of things about. It seems like that game doesn't look that great on Switch or run that great on Switch. And so beware of that one. Maybe look up a video before you make your purchasing decision. Cyber Protocol is out on Xbox One and PC. Strawberry Vinegar is out on Switch. We Were Here Together is out on Xbox One. Chio in the Castle of Lucio for Xbox One. Rigid Force Redux is out today for Xbox One and Switch. Clubhouse Games 51 Worldwide Classics is out today on Switch. And let me tell you, man, I have that game downloaded on my Switch. I'm very excited to play it. Ooh, are you familiar with Clubhouse that? Games?
No, so, what is it?
Do you remember Wii Play from the Wii?
Yeah.
So think Wii Play, but it's like instead of like however many games are in that, like 10, it's 51. And it's like a bunch of board games that you know, right? Like it's like chess and like solitaire and like a bunch of those games. But also like they have bowling and they have tanks and they have like an action figure fighting game, and like basically there's 51 games that like range from like very classic like board games that we all know and love to like unique like Nintendo Wii like, you know, fun little mini games.
Ooh,
and
nice.
So yeah, it's essentially like the evolution of Wii Play, and I'm really excited to check it out because one, I love Wii Play, two, I love the classic board games, and three, like this looks like my jam. Kevin, what is this here? Is this Clubhouse game?
Is this not what you're talking about?
No, I don't think it is.
All 51 games in Clubhouse Games, 51's World Class.
Oh, maybe this is. Maybe this is just one of the games in it.
Yeah,
it
should be. I mean, this is a long video of 51 games.
Okay.
Oh, this is dope.
No, this game is explain. This is it. Yeah. And so yeah, like cool. You have Connect 4, which they call 4 in a row because, or Connect between 3 and 4. You're right.
Oh, I'm copying this. I'm copying
between 3 and 5.
I'm copping this for sure. I love stuff like this.
Yeah, so just a bunch of different board games. And I'm really excited to play because I need this right now.
Ooh, that's great. Okay, yeah, I'm on board. I love stuff like that. It's stupid, but I love stuff like that. Yeah.
Yeah. So I'm hyped for that. Ooh. We also got Command. What's that?
I just added a little shooting game.
This is my jam. This is great co-op stuff, too. This is like stuff that you can play and mess around. Okay. I love it.
You know what my favorite Wii Play game was? There was like a game where you essentially have to stack ice cream or like stack things. I can't remember if it was just ice cream or if it was multiple things, but like it was like a stacking game and you'd play as your me and like things would get more and more and more ridiculous as things went. I fucking love that game. That was my jam.
That's dope.
Command & Conquer Remastered Collection is out today for PC. Night Squad for Switch. They Came from the Sky for Switch. Bridge Strike for Switch. Pinball Lockdown for Switch. Ninja Scarf for PC, The Vox Tower Defense for PC, Carrier Battles for Guadalcanal for PC and Mac, Karen's Crypt, Even Death May Die for PC, Burning Night for PC and Mac, Virus Blast for PC, and then Mosaic Nico Waifus 2 is out today for Steam. new dates, Kingdoms of Amalur Re-Reckoning is releasing on PS4, Xbox One, and PC on August 18th, 2020. Now it's time for reader mail. You can write into patreon.com/kindoffunnygames where you can get the show ad free. And speaking of ads, this episode of Kind of Funny Games Daily is brought to you by Brooklinen. Did you know that making small changes to your everyday life can lead to huge positive changes to your lifestyle? The right towel turns a bathroom into a spa. The right loungewear turns function into luxury. The right bedding turns a bed into a retreat. You know Brooklinen as the internet's favorite sheets, but they're also home to bedding, loungewear, towels, and more with over 50,000 plus five-star reviews and counting. Kind of Funny loves Brooklinen, their luxury products at a low price, and Tim loves the fact that he can get the right colors to match with his room. He also says that they're comfortable. You can always trust Tim Gettys. Brooklinen was the first direct-to-consumer bedding company. They work directly with manufacturers and directly with customers. No middlemen, just a great product and service. All luxury products without the luxury markup, brooklinen.com is the perfect place to start making small changes that can make big differences. Brooklinen is so confident in their product that all their sheets, comforters, loungewear, towels, and towels come with a lifetime warranty. Go on, make yourself comfortable. Get 10% off your first order and free shipping when you use promo code GAMES only at brooklinen.com. Brooklinen, everything you need to live your most comfortable life. Khalif.
Yes, sir.
Kebabs writes in to patreon.com/kindoffunnygames, just like you can, and says, "What's up, Blessing and Khalif? Earlier this week, Sega announced the extremely tiny Game Gear Micro. I thought it'd be a fun topic to rank the classic mini consoles that have released since the NES Mini in 2016. Your options are NES Classic Edition, SNES Classic Edition, the Commodore 64 Mini, Neo Geo Mini, PlayStation Classic, Genesis Mini, and the TurboGrafx-16 Mini. Thanks and keep being awesome. Kebabs." Now, Khalif, this is an interesting one because that's zero of these.
When you played those consoles, but not just the mini versions,
Yes. I've not played the mini versions. Yeah. I played like SNES, the classic version at a friend's place, maybe once or twice. But aside from that, I've not had the opportunity to actually touch the mini consoles. I know about them. I know the details about them, but I'm not actually had hands on. I don't know if you've gotten to like play any of them or if you have any of them.
I've played the NES Classic and the SNES Classic. I think what should happen is all these companies should reach out and give us all these consoles so we can actually test it and then have real conversations.
That's actually a very great idea.
Let's do that.
I'm saying they should do that. Listen to the show. But I can only rank them in terms of the way I would rank those systems in general. So I'd probably
Let's do that.
Yeah, I'd probably put the NES Classic first, SNES
Over the SNES Classic? You put an NES over SNES, Khalif?
Yes, I am. I'm doing it. Then I would put Genesis after that. Then I would put Neo Geo, TurboGrafx, and then Commodore. So it would be in that order. Because the Commodore doesn't really need to be on there. Like, no one was rocking a Commodore 64 and loving it. Not really.
I mean, you said NES Classic, followed by SNES Classic, followed by Genesis.
By Genesis.
And then Neo Geo.
Then Neo Geo, then PlayStation and TurboGrafx.
PlayStation, then TurboGrafx. Now, where does that leave the Commodore 64?
Off the list. No Commodore 64. Because then if you're going to go that route, then you have to put on the Vectrex Classic. You have to put on the Bally Astrocade Classic, which are all stuff that predate everyone in this room, probably, except for me. So it's like you have to go back down the line and do all that stuff. And put all those into. So Commodore just shouldn't even be on that list.
I can get behind this list, right? Like NES Classic. I'm trying to think of the NES games versus the SNES games that I love. And I can't remember. Let me look up to see, is Earthbound on the SNES Classic? Because game changer for me.
Ooh,
because if it's not, then I'm with you.
I think it might be.
Because it's not on SNES Online, which is the thing that continues to piss me off.
I mean, of all the systems that they have listed there, the two that I actually really, really want would be the Neo Geo and TurboGrafx, because I've never really had those consoles, and I always lusted after those consoles. And then you have to put the 3DO. You need a 3DO Mini in there, too. Because 3DO had one of the best basketball games ever known to man on it in Magic Johnson's Basketball, which was a ripoff of Run and Gun from Konami. But anywho.
The SNES Classic does have Earthbound, and it has Donkey Kong Country, and it has Mario RPG. And so I personally got to put it at number one. But I'm just gonna switch around SNES and NES Classic for the sake of it.
Reasonable.
But that's still like a hard decision, right? Because Mario 3 is my favorite Mario. And so like it's still a tough conversation, but I'm with you there. The PlayStation Classic. That one is kind of a tragedy to me a little bit, because I think the library on that one just wasn't that strong.
Exactly.
Even though I think conceptually the PlayStation Classic should be top three. But in practice, like it didn't get there. And then I don't know anything about the Genesis Mini, or the Neo Geo or the TurboGrafx 16 Mini in their libraries. But
if they put a PlayStation 2 Mini on there, that might move everything out of the way.
That's like an automatic number one right there. What would you put on a PS2 Classic?
Oh God. There's so many games. It's so many games I can't think of it right now. I like totally blanked in my brain fried.
Shadow Colossus is on there for sure.
Yes.
I feel like you have to have the GTA Metal Gear games.
Too.
Metal Gear for sure. Metal Gear 2 and 3.
Yeah.
Yeah,
like, you gotta put GTA stuff in there.
It's hard because if it sucks because we have to like think about third party versus first party, and I'm sure third party is like way more difficult to get
Metal
on
Arena
there.
Toshiden has to be well. No, that's on one. That was on one. Oh yeah, this
Tekken Tag Tournament.
You got to put MTV Music Generator on there.
Oh yeah, Music Generator too for sure.
You got to put that on there for sure. Amplitude has to go on there. Oh yeah, this. Oh man, too many dope joints, man. Like think about how good we've had it over the years, man.
Ooh. Yeah, man. Because my mind is going to Burnout 3 and like Ooh. NBA Street and like all the Street games. Like Kingdom Hearts. I'm sure the Final Fantasy games also people would want those on there. But again, it's like first party versus third party. Like, how many of those big third party games can get there?
I want NBA Street Volume 2 so bad. I want to play that right now. Oh, so good.
Dude, I got the disc, man. I got the disc and I got a PS2.
Oh.
So like once quarantine is over, we can make it happen. I know we were organizing a tournament for later this year, actually, because Gary Whitta was talking a lot about NBA Street Volume 2 and was talking about how like he was talking some shit, man. He was challenging me. I didn't take kindly.
I am dying to see Gary Whitta talk shit playing a basketball game with his amazing accent. It's gonna be so good. I want that so bad in the world. I want that so much in the world. That's gonna be so great if it ever happens.
Dude, that tournament is gonna happen, and I'm gonna like, I'm gonna let it be known why I talk shit so freely when it comes to NBA Street Volume 2. It's because I'm very confident in my NBA Street Volume 2 skills. In fact, like I personally am like, I get offended when other people think they can take me when they think they can handle that smoke. You don't want that smoke in NBA Street Volume 2, and I want to make that clear for people who bring that up with me.
I was talking about
Gary Whitta. Now it's time.
You're going to get Animal Crossed up. That's what you're going to get, Gary.
You're going to get Animal Crossed up, son. Now it's time to squad up. Nanobiologist writes in with a squad up and says, with everything going on, we forgot one big birthday yesterday. Number 2 question submitter Frank Furter turned a year older yesterday, and I just want to wish him a very happy belated birthday. Frank brings such a positive light to the community with submitting questions regularly, starting up Kinda DFW, and his streams at twitch.tv/frankfurter, and pushing me to become a better friend and overall better person. It has been an absolute honor to consider him a friend and to be in the same community as him. Thank you, Frank, for being a shining example of what a best friend could be. And again, a very happy belated birthday to you, buddy. And I echo that. Happy birthday, Frank Furter. Of course, like a lot of times in the show, we get a lot of the same question submitters because people write in every day. People are very consistent. Frank Furter is one of those people who's very consistent, writes in very good questions. Shout out to Frank Furter. Happy belated birthday.
Happy birthday.
You had a great time. Hope you had a great day. Hope you did something. Hope you celebrated. Word. Now it's time for one of them rotating segments. This whole week, I've been asking people to shout out a black voice in the industry that they want to highlight. And Khalif, I know I asked you that earlier this week. I've not been able to actually speak on it myself. And so I'm going to turn this back around on me as far as like somebody who I like to shout out. I want to shout out the homie Rihanna Manuel, of course, of What's Good Games. Mm-hmm. Rihanna is somebody who I met through the Kinda Funny community in the Kinda Funny Facebook group. And it's actually like a pretty wild story because I met Rihanna years ago at this point, like maybe like 2017, 2016. And essentially like she wrote into the Kinda Funny Facebook group because she met her now boyfriend, you know, through that group because like they had like kind of like a misunderstanding. I think Rhee slid into news DMs to like apologize about saying something, and then that kind of flourished into something bigger. And then yeah, like they posted in the Kinda Funny Facebook group talking about how they met up and like, you know, they're in Seattle and hanging out and all this stuff. And I then commented on that saying like, oh, you guys are in Seattle, I'm also in Seattle, let's hang out. And that's how we met, and that's how we became best friends. And it's awesome to see that, like, in a weird way, like, somehow I end up at Kinda Funny. She ends up at What's Good Games. And this whole week, she's been actually a super critical voice. She's also been on Inside Gaming, and she's been making the rounds and being, you know, super informative, super super great in all the shows that she's been on. And overall, like, Rihanna, a very talented human being, right? Also works in the industry, killing it. So I want to give a shout out to Rihanna because Rihanna is absolutely awesome.
Love Rhee. Rhee is one of the best people on the planet. And anybody who says otherwise, I will sit on you. Don't ever talk stuff about Rihanna. I'll do it.
The nanobiologist writes in again and says, hi, Blessing Ka. Bless, you've asked each guest who the audience should follow slash stand out to them. But what about Black game developers? Are there any Black developers slash development teams that stand out to you? Are there any games that are now made by Black creators that you highly recommend people pick up and play today? Thanks, the Nanobiologist. And Nanobiologist is an excellent question. And I have two specifically that I want to highlight. First, I want to highlight Treachery and Beatdown City by Sean Allen Alexander. I haven't gotten to play it yet. Khalif, I don't know if you've gotten to check out Treachery and Beatdown City.
It's very, very good. It's very, very good.
Kevin, I have a trailer here. I think we played the trailer before on the show because it was part of Out Today on one of the episodes. But if you can pull up the trailer, Khalif, what's the quick pitch on Treachery and Beatdown City?
Think of it as like Double Dragon meets an RPG. So it's like you have these three characters you can swap out between. It's a 2D side scroller. And the cool parts about it is like if you think about the kind of normal Double Dragon gameplay, but you add into it the ability to have like real time strategy, like a Final Fantasy VII in that way, where you stop time, you pick which moves you want to pick, and you know, pick your defense moves, pick that stuff. And it's dope because it's like has a combo system, like each character has different specific moves you can get. It's amazingly funny, especially if you're like from New York, because it's a New York based dev and has a lot of references to New York. So it like makes me feel really excited to talk about that. But it is really fantastic. I think one of the best parts that people will not necessarily think about when you play a game like this is the writing is really, really strong. And I played it on stream for like 6 hours a couple weeks ago, and every time I got to a new splash screen it was like really, really cool. So mass shout out to Sean. I have a whole bunch of love for him. He's one of the reasons why I'm even in this industry, so anything that he does I'm gonna rep super, super hard. So
massive love, Kevin, is what you're doing right now, is that showing up on stream?
It is. I wanted to make it a little smaller. God, I flipped it. Totally.
Kevin has been the master of production today.
For audio listeners, as Kevin was showing the gameplay,
he nailed everything. That's what happened. Audio listeners, he killed it.
He absolutely did a great job.
Every time he knocks
job.
It out of the park.
Oh, that's hilarious. Kevin, if there's a way we can play the second link with sound that I have that I'm about to talk about, that'd be awesome. So Davion Gooden is another Black developer who is making this game called She Dreams Elsewhere. And let me tell you, this game, I'm very excited about it. As somebody who's really into Earthbound, and as somebody who loves Undertale, this game seems to be within the realm of those. Kevin, go ahead and play it. Play with the sound, yeah, because people need to hear the music and everything going on.
Can you hear it?
Again, this is, yeah, we can hear it. Again, She Dreams Elsewhere by Davion Gooden. So it has like a, you can hear the music, right? It's kind of like a lo-fi hip-hop kind of thing going on for audio so listeners, good. Right? Like, it's like this top-down, quirky-looking... I forgot he was part of the indie mega booth. But yeah, basically like a top-down RPG within like the Undertale style, but like even more so, like I don't even know what to call it, like a Twilight-ish, like
cool
style to it.
Like he is also one of those cats who I think of when I think of like where the future of gaming is gonna go. His stuff is really on point. Like I played the prologue, the demo, and it blew me away. So I'm really, really hyped for what this is going to wind up being when he's done with it and when it's out.
Yeah. All right, Kevin, you can take this down now. But She Dreams Elsewhere, again, is what it's called. Again, like the vibes are off the chain. So check that out. Now it's time for kindoffunny.com/you'rewrong, where you write in, let us know what we got wrong as we got it wrong. AJ says, Blessing said American cheese has its uses. There's only one use for American cheese, and that is the landfill.
Yes, boo. Thank you, God.
Bad opinion, boo.
I believe in you.
Come, you tell me you don't like McDonald's with American cheese on there?
Nah. That joint is booty butt cheese.
McDonald's can't be your example when it comes to good food, Kevin. I love McDonald's, but it can't be an example of good food.
It's not an example of good food. It's just an example of food that we all enjoy.
Okay. I'll take that.
Thank you.
Nail Lodge says,
I'm going to applaud that myself.
Oh my god, that's amazing. I never saw that before. That's so good.
The only difference for the new Halo game is it's a new project in the Halo universe, says the nanobiologist. And I think that's clarifying of, like, did they say what it is?
While you're still looking for your wrongs, I just wanted to add to the nanobiologist part. Go to blackgamedevs.com. You'll find a whole list of folks there too.
Oh yeah. That's good. That's a good shout out. I totally forgot to ask you if there are any black game devs that you wanted to shout out.
Nah, no worries. Ariel Knight. Shout out to Ariel Knight, who's doing fantastic stuff on the Unity side of things too. Also, Kevin, you have to show me how you did that.
Nanobiologist says, really regarding Bobby Kotick's paycheck, Activision Blizzard employees typically earn less than 1/3 of 1% of the CEO's earnings. And even if that is true, and I'm not downing it at all, the gamesindustry.biz article, I want to say, that I was reading earlier, definitely pointed out that, like, the bonuses Bobby Kotick was making was off the chain, more like was basically higher than, like, other companies of like the same ilk as Activision.
Yeah. It's gonna be interesting to see. And he was making that dough before it started to even really get reported out like this. So just think about how long he's been making cash in those ways. So something to think about.
Nanobiologist, who's been killing it, also says, regarding Wii U pay cuts, Nintendo CEO Satoru Iwata said he'll be taking a 50% pay cut for the next 5 months, with other executives slicing their salaries by 20 to 30%. And so that's what we referenced earlier. Nice. When we were talking about that. And that looks like it's about it. Well, actually, Matt the Wob says, you can refund a game on Steam if your playtime is less than 2 hours and it's less than 2 weeks from your purchase.
Thank you.
There you go.
There you go.
Next week's hosts are: Monday is Tim and Greg, Tuesday is Imran and Fran, Wednesday is Greg and Gary, Thursday is Greg and me, and then Friday it's Greg and me again. We're back at it like a bad habit. Of course, this has been Kind of Funny Games Daily, each and every weekday at 10 a.m. live right here on twitch.tv. We run you through the nerdy news you need to know about. Before I even talk about how we have a Patreon post show after this, Khalif, remind people where they can find you.
You can find us on all podcast platforms. You can see us on youtube.com/spawnonme. You can watch us every Thursday evening, 7 p.m. PST at twitch.tv/spawnonme, and come watch us do our show live and in full effect. And we're always on Twitter, at Kajakins, at spawnonme is where you can get up with me and tell me about how American cheese is terrible. So let me know.
Oh, man. He's going so hard on American cheese, and it's so
American
good.
Cheese is booty butt cheeks.
Somebody else also in Iran said
boo
that.
To that.
You can't throw American cheese in a landfill because you're not supposed to put plastic in a landfill.
Wow, right. I love this.
All right, come on, I like American cheese. I know for
I personally
a fact
have nothing
like...
wrong. I have nothing wrong with American cheese. I think American cheese is fine, but I will also say that American cheese is like the bottom of cheeses, like. American cheese is at the very bottom as far as like the cheese ranking goes. Like,
I don't believe that for a I think second, all, you monster.
It's science. American cheese is science.
Yeah, that's right. Science at its best.
Like, I love cheese. I love all cheese.
I'm ashamed to know that we as a country put a man on the moon and also made American cheese.
What? That's magic. They developed a new type of cheese. Y'all are crazy.
We have a Patreon post show, of course, for those that are subbed at the silver level of patreon.com/kindoffunnygames. So stick around for that. Otherwise, until next time, Game Daily.